Hello, welcome to this episode of What I Learned in History Class podcast, where we dive into the past to examine the events that shaped our world to how it is today. I am your host, Ramessa Rehan.
And this is your co-host, Humal Rehan. On this beautiful morning, we will be discussing Chapter 27 of Give Me Liberty, an American History by Eric Foner. We will go into the depths of significant matters that occurred in American history from the years 1989 to 2004, covering all the way from the end of the Cold War to the War on Terrorism. We will also be reviewing the documentary Unprecedented, the 2000 presidential election, which goes over the events that occurred during the recount of the electoral college votes in Florida. So go get some popcorn or whatever your favorite snack is and come join us in exploring American history from the years 1989 to 2004. I want to start off this podcast by asking a simple question. What exactly does the turn of millennium mean?
According to TVTropes.org, saying that the time between 1989 and 2004 was a hard time is an understatement. From the end of the Cold War to the controversial presidential election of 2000 to the worst terrorist attack recorded in history, this decade highly played into the shaping of the United States. It is crucial to understand this period of time to gain insight about how the United States functions today.
The end of the Cold War marked an opportunity for the rise of other global conflicts. For example, the first Gulf War was the first international crisis post-Cold War. It was a military action that occurred in 1991 in which an international coalition led by the United States drove Iraq from Kuwait, which it had occupied the previous year.
Another example of a global conflict that occurred during this time is the Balkan Crisis, which was a series of ethnic and political crises that arose following the dissolution of Yugoslavia in the 1990s. This conflict saw numerous crimes committed, and NATO, the UN, and the US all made numerous interventions.
These events helped to shape the post-Cold War world because it signaled the United States' transition into a new world, one in which they are the sole superpower.
Another event that occurred during this time period is the impeachment of Bill Clinton. In the 1980s and 1990s, the scrutiny of politicians' private lives became more apparent than in the past.
In 1998, it became known to the public that Clinton had an affair with Monica Lewinsky, a White House intern. Kenneth Starr, a special counsel who began to investigate Monica Lewinsky, issued a lengthy report with details regarding Clinton's private affairs and accused the president of lying under oath about the affair.
In December of 1998, the Republican-controlled House of Representatives voted to impeach Clinton for perjury and obstruction of justice. Clinton became the second president to be tried before the Senate for impeachment trials, the first being Andrew Johnson.
If Clinton was eligible to run for a re-election, he probably would have won by a landslide. In the election of 2000, the Democrats nominated Vice President Al Gore and paired him with Senator Joseph Lieberman, the first Jewish vice president nominee, to replace Bill Clinton, and the Republicans chose George W. Bush, the governor of Texas, as their candidate and paired him with former Secretary of Defense Dick Cheney.
This election was the closest in American history. In the movie Unprecedented, the 2000 presidential election, the disputed Florida vote, and the numerous legal challenges brought by both political parties are examined in this documentary depiction of the circumstances surrounding the 2000 U.S. presidential election. It is implied that Governor Jeb Bush, who was from Florida and is also George W. Bush's brother, and Secretary of State Katherine Harris planned to manipulate the election results in order to give George W. Bush the presidency. It is widely considered to be an assault on democracy by the Supreme Court's subsequent decision to halt the recount.
This documentary is a great way to learn more about the closest and maybe messiest election in American history. It helps the audience gain better insight about the events that occurred during the recount of the electoral college votes in Florida. Unprecedented is a disturbing depiction of the 2000 presidential election, which ought to have served as a wake-up call to American citizens to either get involved in voting reform efforts or grow more disinterested in the entire electoral process.
Overall, I believe this documentary is a must-watch if you would like a quick historical watch. It is only a 47-minute documentary directed and co-written by Rachel Ray Perez and Joan Seckler, and narrated by Peter Coyote. If you would like to know more about the election of 2000, I feel that Unprecedented will sum up the event in a clear way that will help you piece together the election of 2000.
Welcome back from our short break. Thank you to Millennium Studios for sponsoring our podcast, which is super fitting because we are covering Turn of the Millennium.
Wow, I didn't even notice that coincidence.
To wrap up the turn of the millennium, we will highlight the most influential event that occurred during this time, which was the attacks of September 11th.
On September 11th, 2001, hijackers seized control of four jet airliners filled with passengers. They crashed two of the planes into the World Trade Center in New York City at around 8 a.m., killing 3,000 people. The victims included all the people on the planes and nearly 400 police and firefighters who had rushed to the World Trade Center to help and died when the Twin Towers collapsed.
As people started to find out about this horrific event that occurred, they began to make missing posters in an effort to find relatives and friends that had been misplaced or tragically deceased during 9/11. These missing posters served as a grim reminder of the lives that were taken away by the events that occurred on September 11th, 2001.
Al-Qaeda, a terrorist organization ran by Osama bin Laden, was quickly blamed by the Bush administration for the attacks. Bin Laden was enraged by the presence of American military bases in Saudi Arabia because he felt that American influence was corrupting Saudi Arabia, which is the spiritual home for Islam. Bin Laden was also aggravated by American support for Israel and its ongoing conflict with the Palestinians during the signing of the Oslo Accords, which was an agreement between Israel and the Palestinian Liberal Organization, or PLO for short, in which Israel agreed that the PLO could govern the West Bank and the Gaza Strip in exchange for the PLO recognition of Israel's right to exist.
After the Gulf War, bin Laden declared war on the United States that had already staged an attack at the World Trade Center in 1993, which had killed six people. Al-Qaeda had staged another terrorist attack at American embassies in Kenya and Tanzania, which killed over 200 people. A rising terrorism threat was visible before 9/11, but nonetheless, the attack came as a complete surprise to Americans because after the Cold War, Americans felt the most safe and secure that they had for decades because the reign of communism was over and the United States was the sole superpower of the world.
September 11th transformed the entire trajectory of the domestic political environment, the international situation, and Bush's presidency.
Following the attacks, there was a remarkable display of public patriotism that was unplanned and uncoordinated by either the government or private organizations. People all around the nation displayed the American flag as a sign of their resolve and their empathy for the victims. Public servants like firefighters and police officers became household names as a result of the sharp increase in public faith in government. Following two decades in which deregulation and individualism dominated American politics, the nation experienced a resurgence of a sense of shared social purpose.
Bush saw the country come together and seized the opportunity to give his administration a new direction and purpose. On September 20th, 2001, Bush made a speech in front of a joint section of Congress and a national TV audience. The Bush Doctrine, which was introduced in Bush's speech and swiftly adopted as a new foreign policy tenet, was proclaimed. The U.S. would start a fight against terrorism. In contrast to other conflicts, this one lacked a clear-cut adversary terrorist organizations operating all over the world that might pose a threat to the United States or its allies and establish timeline for triumph.
In the same speech, Bush called for the Taliban, a group of Islamic fundamentalists based in Afghanistan, to surrender Osama bin Laden. When the Taliban refused, the U.S. launched airstrikes in Afghanistan. This became the war in Afghanistan, which is a war fought against the Taliban and Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan following the attacks of 9/11. It remains the longest war in American history.
Our last segment today will be a Q&A. So the two questions we will answer today are: the war on terror, which began after the 9/11 attacks, is estimated by some observers to have spent over $7 trillion and continues to this current day. Do you feel that the money spent by the United States has been warranted and that this war should continue? And the second question is, how did George W. Bush's presidential election victory in 2000 change the United States? In the what if game, how do you feel that the United States policy might have been affected if Al Gore had ultimately been declared the winner of the 2000 election?
I feel that the money spent by the United States has been warranted because throughout terrorism impacted states, they have warranted the money. And I feel like the war should continue because, war of terror helps destroy terrorism groups, which obviously helps the USA in a positive way, such as it helped destroy Al-Qaeda's grip on Afghanistan by driving the Taliban from power. It distributed Al-Qaeda's global operations and terrorist financing networks. It destroyed Al-Qaeda's terrorist training camps. It helped the innocent people of Afghanistan recover from the Taliban's region of terror. And it helped Afghans put aside long-standing differences to form a new interim government that represents all Afghans, including women. So the war of terror has helped a lot in a positive way.
I feel that Bush's presidency changed the United States because he, despite all of the, like, the obstacles that he had to face to become president, he leads the first unified Republican government in almost a half century. And he faces a Democratic Party unified and energized by the politics of the recount and cheered by their improved prospects for regaining control in both chambers in the 2002 midterm elections. He will also have to deal with informal recounts of the Florida vote by news organizations and lawsuits brought by angry civil rights activists. So I feel like if Al Gore became president, like if the trajectory of the 2000 presidential election changed, then I feel like it would have been like the same policies that was being established, because before Bush became president, mainly the presidents were Democratic. So I feel like there would not have been as much of a change. And I feel like Bush helped bring more change into the United States, such as like lowering taxes and just like helping the US government more than like having a new perspective on everything because of the difference of parties.
And that concludes this episode of What I Learned in History Class. We hope you've learned something new about the turn of the millennium and its impact on the world. Join two new hosts next week as we continue to explore the stories and events that shaped our world. Thank you for listening.